So I want to look at one more thing there, Hashulchan, there before that, to Yoni's point, and then, yeah, these ideas are pretty interesting.
Yeah, he's a chunky guy.
Well,
the Rubin has like a very, like, not smooth.
Yeah, clunky.
Oh, which can find, like, yeah,
cumbersome view. Okay, so a lot of what we've been discussing until now really turns on this distinction between the Poel and the Kablan. So the Gemara in Zion, we know, says that Rav holds that a Poel has a special right to be Chozer, Kli Bnei Yisrael Avadim, and the Gemara suggests that this Zechus would be limited to a Poel, it would not apply to a Kablan. The Gemara actually suggests that within Reb Dosa's view, that maybe Reb Dosa, who holds Yad Kablan al Tachtona, would concede that Yad Poel is al Yona. The Gemara ultimately rejects that idea. The Gemara on Ayin Zayin Beis ultimately holds that according to Reb Dosa, both a Kablan and a Poel are Yadam al Tachtona. But Rav splits. Rav thinks that Yad Poel al Yona and Yad Kablan is al Tachtona. That's the Maskana of the Gemara on Ayin Zayin Amud Base. Yes. If you look at Rashi and Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, Rashi tells us, what's the reason? Why would you distinguish between a Poel and a Kablan? So, Yair, what does Rashi say?
He says that a Poel is an Eved, but a Kablan is only an Eved
L'Atzmo. That's right. It's only an Eved, it's only a Poel who's considered to be an Eved to his master. For him, the Torah has to step in and give him greater freedoms. But a Kablan, who basically has no master, for him the Torah has no reason to step in and give him greater freedoms. He's already free, right? As Rashi says, Ein ze eved ela atzmo for a Kablan. So Rashi actually says, the reason of avadayim velo avadim lavadim is only applicable to the Poel, presumably on the grounds that he's a servant to his master. That logic doesn't apply to the Kablan. Okay. Lihalacha, this has gets paskin both in the Rambam and hold off on that comment for a second. The Rambam Hilchos Mechira Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Tesvav also draws an important distinction between a Kablan and a Poel. This is what we were just pushing Kol on. Yoni, why don't you tell us about the Rambam in Mechira Yud Gimel?
The Rambam paskins that a Poel, so for a Poel, is there's no
Kodah. Yeah, so if I'm so close to the pole, there's no Isra Onah, I price gouge.
Because it's like Kodah Oto Isman, which is like an Eved.
Yeah.
So just as acquiring an Eved doesn't have Onah, Tekesh Karka, so to a pole, like an Eved doesn't have
Onah. That's right. So we know from the Torah that Avadim Shtaros and Karkos have no Isra Onah, Xer Sakasuv. The Rambam here says that a Poel is like an Eved, who therefore falls under the Eved exception. There's no Isra Onah for being Socher as a Poel. Now, that's a Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Tesvav Mechira. Rambam Halacha Yud Ches says what? Yeah, Nir Elisha, Kablan Yesh Lo Onah. So a very important distinction between the Kablan and the Poel. Where does the Rambam get this idea from? Notice it's a Nir Eli. Rambam just says it appears to me that a Kablan should be different. By the way, I think this Nir Eli works against Cole's point, because it's not like the Rambam just has to solve a problem. Right? The Rambam saying, look, the Rambam just could have said, like, oh, a Kablan's also like an Eved with respect to this halacha. But the Rambam actually is the one who goes out of his way to draw the distinction between them. Right?
And apparently not based on I have a Gemara, but based on
logic.
My underlying conception of what it
That's
is.
Right. I think there's this fundamental distinction between an Eved and a Poel and a Kabla.
Wait, you're saying this helps me or harms me?
This harms you.
What, this line in which Rambam? Yud Gimel Tesvav?
Yud Gimel Yud Ches. What? Yud Gimel Yud Ches. Yud Gimel Yud Ches. The Rambam says, Nir Elisha, Kablan Yesh Lo Onah. The Rambam, created that distinction on the basis...
Nir Elisha.
Right, but he didn't have to draw that. He didn't have to create problems for himself by drawing that distinction. The Chumas HaDeshen in Simen Shin Yud Ches...
The global evidence for me,
okay. The Chumas HaDeshen in the Simen Shin Yud Ches wants to know, where does the Rambam get this idea from? L'chalik bein poel l'kablan with respect to Ona. And he says, oh, it must be the Gemara in Bamitzia, Ayin Zayin, our Gemara, where the Gemara says that a poel could be chosen every time a keli b'nei Yisrael avadim, but a kablan cannot. Alma poel dami la'eved v'lo l'kablan. He says the only real Gemara that weighs in to show you that there's this conceptual distinction between a poel and a kablan is our Gemara in Ayin Zayin, which says that a poel has a right to be chozer mitam d'li b'nei Yisrael avadim, but not a kablan. Right. So the Chumash Hadeshin is explicitly linking the Rambam's kablan poel distinction hilchsona with the kablan poel distinction that we find with respect to the privilege to withdraw. Okay. Now, seems to be the fundamental distinction, that a poel is like an eved, a kablan is not. We'll see the underlying reason for that appears to be the fact that a poel is hired for a certain amount of time. Maybe he's more under the authority of his master, whereas a kablan usually can do the work that he's tasked on his own schedule, where and how he wants to do it. Okay?
I have to go say Mariv, but I'm looking forward to listening to this.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to give you a call later to discuss this further.
Standing by.
Okay. Now, there are two halachic consequences. Well, there are possibly two halachic consequences of the kablan's no right to be chozer. What might those two consequences be? What would those two consequences be?
Either he would be able to be chozer and just be forced to pay out a lachtona, or he would be unable to be chozer and
altogether. Excellent. And the same way that we saw, there are two dinim associated with Poel's right to be chozer. There might be two consequences to the kablan's inability to be chozer. Right. One of them being that maybe he has the privilege to be chozer, but he's going to have to pay compensation if he does. And moreover, That would be yadu al tachtona. And moreover, that maybe he may not even have the zechus to be chozer altogether, and that we could compel specific performance, exactly as Yair said. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed Gimel Dalid and the Rambam and Tzchiras Test Dalid, they both speak that a poel achozer is yadu al tachtona. But no, you wanted to get a...
Yeah, I was going
to
say, based off of our analysis, that stripping a poel of
yeah. This would be another example of that. Because the kablan is based, and this is what I was alluding to in my response to Yoni, a kablan is basically a poel without, in terms of analyzing the theory of contract, he's a poel without the special din of Kili B'nai Yisrael Avadim. In terms of just understanding what the nature of the contractual relationship is. So, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam in Shin Lamed Gimel, Dalid, and again the Rambam in Tzchiras Test Dalid, so they both say that a kablan who's chozer is yadol tachtona. What that means is that we'll first calculate the balabayas's costs from the poel's breach, deduct all those costs from the value of the contract, the cost of completion, and then pay the poel whatever's left over. Okay? But the poel will never get more than the prorated price that was agreed upon at the beginning. So, take our classic case. Suppose the poel was supposed to tailor a suit for $8 for the whole thing. He does half. Sorry, the kablan. The kablan does half. Sorry, you're looking at me, Yoni?
No, I'm just thinking.
Okay. So, the kablan gets hired to do the whole job for $8. He does half.
$4 bills. $2 to $4.
One second. Now, when he breaches, the cost of labor goes up. It's going to cost the balabayas $6 to complete. So, yad poel al tachtona. So, the whole value of the contract is $8. Deduct $6. That's how much it's going to cost the balabayas to complete. The kablan only gets the remaining $2. Right? Had he been a poel, how much would he have gotten?
Four.
Right? I mean, a poel is protected to automatically get the rate of the contract, prorated, for the amount of work he did. A kablan has to absorb the cost of completion that he's imposing on the balabayas. if it's going to cost the balabais $6 to complete, so you deduct 6 from the 8 full contract, the poel is only left with 2. Okay, that's the standard view of yad kablon al tachtona, as paskin by the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed Gimel and the Rambam in Parak Tes of Sechiras. Now, the Shach thinks that the Ravid, commenting on that Rambam, has a different view of Yad Kablon al Tachtona. And you can see here the Pisrei Choshen quotes it in Yud Aleph Vav. See where it says Yad al Tachtona Gamri. And he says what Yad al Tachtona could mean is that suppose the scenario of I hire the Kablon to do a full job of tailoring for $8. He does half, he breaches, and now the cost of labor goes down, such that it's only worth $2 to complete the job. Okay? So, how much should the Kablon get in that case? So if you're the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, you would say, oh, the Kablon still walks away with 4, because there's no reason to penalize the Kablon if he's not imposing extra costs on the Balabais. The Shach says that according to the Ravid, what would happen in this case is that the Kablon would only walk away with 2. Why? Because at the time of breach, the value of labor had gone down to 2, so we value his work at the lowest possible market rate, which is the market rate that exists right now. So, Yad Kablon al Tachtona means that if the rate goes down, we'll give the Poel the lesser market rate that exists now, even though at the time of the contract, they had an agreement to be paid at a higher rate.
Okay, I think I understand that. V'yesh
Omer, so the Pesach Choshen, V'yesh Omer, M'sheh B'zeh, Einar Nosen, Lo Ela Beis Dinarim. And then, Pesach Choshen quotes the Shach, and you can see I have the Shach here also, in Shin Lamed Gimel Chaf Beis. He says, that's right.
Wait, let's say,
so he says, the kivan she'ata ein hamalacha shava ela beis dinarim, ein anosin ela lefi shava she'shava hamalacha ata. Right?
What if he goes up?
No. So if he goes up, you still give him the Shulchan Aruch. Exactly. Yeah. Meaning you kind of give him the less of all the possible.
So, yeah, so making it worse on the Kabbalah.
Exactly. And that's like a mamish yad al tachtona. You always look for the harshest way to evaluate it. And so if the Shulchan Aruch way is the harsher way, then yes, deduct, if the price goes up, deduct the cost of completion from the full contract and give the Kabbalah the remainder. If the price goes down, then give him the lower present market rate for the first half that he did.
There's something to me in the shop, right? What the shop could hold is that you pay him according to the present wages, except for the fact that you need to offset the cost of completing the work, which will cost you...
But the market price went down. So it only cost you
$2. The wages went up. So the reason you don't get paid according to the new wages isn't because you're entitled to them, but because you have to offset the cost of...
Yeah.
The work.
But that's the Shulchan Aruch's view.
Correct,
but that's the Shulchan Aruch's view. The Shulchan Aruch's view is that the way to calculate it. I agree.
I can construct a situation in which the wages go up, and therefore the compensation for the poel also goes up.
No, you can't.
How can you do that?
Because you're always the cost of completion.
Three quarters of the work, let's say. And now the wages went up. So to pay for the one quarter of the work costs you something, but the increase in the wages and the other three quarters of the work offsets that cost for you.
Something weird like that.
Yeah.
You need something where the graph of cost completion is not linear. So it's like it's not like the more amount.
Does that even exist?
It's like, oh, you want me to finish somebody else's job? It costs me triple or something. I guess you need something like that where it's like a non-linear.
No, I'm not sure.
No, because you needed.
I'm gonna figure it out. You
can go. Okay, you figure it out. All right, why don't you think about it afterwards? So why don't we...
I'll pay attention to it.
All right. Does everybody see that? That's the Shach's argument. Yeah. Now, the Pesach Choshen, I think, has an interesting point here, where he says, one justification for this view, he's really talking about a variation of this view, but I think you could apply the same rationale to the Shach's case, is no, you want to read the the bolded section in the Pesach Choshen.
The Bishomrim, or were in a different Pesach?
In that footnote on that page. The Bitzarif Lomar? Yeah.
Bitzarif Lomar Atam. The Kevan Shechazar Be'emta Hariza Ki'inu Batla Havsika Hakudemet.
Yeah. Why does the poll get $2 if the cost of labor goes down in the Shach view? Because once he's chozer, it's as if
the original salary, the original contract.
But la hapsika hakodemes. What does that mean? No, I don't take a stab at it.
Yeah, I don't really know.
It's as if the original stipulation is null and void. So we had an agreement. I was going to pay you $8 for the full job, which means I'm basically paying you a rate of $4 for half a job. So had we all abided by the agreement, the Koblen would be entitled to $4 for half a job. But once the Koblen breaches, the Balabayas is no longer obligated to stand by that original agreement. So the only thing fixing the original price agreement in place is the agreement. But once the Koblen breaches, that vitiates the whole agreement that existed Meikara. So now we're just going to pay the Poel quantum merit. We're going to pay him as if he's like a Yorid, I guess. He's somebody who's just conferring a benefit. How do you calculate that? Ala Tachtona, from the lowest rate available, which is the present market rate for that service. It's a very interesting, view, right?
Yeah. So why would that not happen with Poel? Meaning why does
Kilib? Oh, so then what's different? Kilib and Yisrael Avadim protects him such that a Poel's breach is not considered to vitiate the original agreement. That's the point. Kilib and Yisrael Avadim means that it's a rightful withdrawal.
Meaning it's almost like within the agreement we already have baked in.
That's right. That's right. So, so to put it differently, a Koblen's breach destroys the terms of the original contract, right? If you break the agreement, you can't also force me to hold by the terms of the agreement. For a Poel, as you put it, it means that when a Poel backs out, it's not a breach of the agreement. It's baked into the agreement, right? Torah says, Kilib b'nei Yisrael avadim. It's a rightful withdrawal. And when it's a rightful withdrawal, that's going to preserve the terms of the agreement that existed Meikara. And that's why the poll is always going to be guaranteed that rate. It's very, I think it's a very, this view is really illuminating in that sense.
Do you think it's similar, like that default compensation is like similar to when your behema like eats someone's food and therefore
only thing for them? Yes, exactly, same idea. So I'm really just paying you for the hana that you conferred upon me by doing this work. Not because we had an agreement that I'm going to pay you this amount. In which case, if the cost goes down and yad fal tachton, I could pay you for the hana at the lowest market rate available. It's exactly the idea. Yeah, good. Now let me... So that's two views on the yad fal tachton perspective. Yoni, you here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have Ara or...?
No, I agree.
Let's see who we have here. Gabe, you've been too quiet. Gabriel.
Yeah, I have no higher one, I think.
Hey.
I wasn't so good. I didn't love the Shach, but I think that Pesach Choshen's reading of the Shach is more compelling.
Yeah, it's a nice idea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other horrors you want to share with us?
Not right now.
Okay, good. But feel free to share them or send them by email.
Sounds good, thank you.
Okay. So, I want to just now make a brief comment about the other idea. So the other dimension of Kilib b'nei Yisrael Avadim. So not the Yadal Yona Yadal Tachtona part, but whether there's a Zechus Chazara Bechlal when it comes to a Koblen. So I think the Pesach Choshen sets this out nicely, and it really comes from the Rambam. You can see here on page 24, the Pesach Choshen Perkei Aleph. Yesh omrim sheim neshtabed akablan bekinyin afim yirtze lekabla kedin yadol atachtona yachal balabayas lechofo ligmor hamalacha. So if the kablan was neshtabed not just with haskalas hamalacha but with a real maisa kinyin, then you could compel the kablan with specific performance to complete the job. Notice it's just the Yesh Omrim. But notice how this also parallels the two deos that we saw in the Pesachei Tshuva when it comes to a poel being chozer to move laterally in a case where Kilibin Yisrael Abadim wouldn't apply. Right? So too here, when it comes to at least a kablan shenishtabed bekinyan, there's a view out there that says that he has no privilege to be chozer bechlal. He has a duty to complete the job. This comes from the Raman, Shalamed Gimel Aleph, really based off that Rabbeinu Tam in the end of Ezu Neshech. Yesh Omrim, De Mashach Balabayas Klei Omena She'ose Behen HaMelacha, which would be the Kinyan Schiros on the Kablon. Ein Balabayas Yochal Lachsimo, V'lo HaPoel Im Hu Kablon. Right, the Poel is not allowed to be Chozer. The Shachir in Chin Lamed Gimel Dalit cites the Agos HaShri. You can see the Agos HaShri is in Vav Metzia Vav Vav. He says, Kasab Agos HaShri, There are two different girsas. Most of you have the girsa bishum mamon, meaning that the kabbalah is not allowed to back out at all, even if he's willing to pay certain costs. Right, so there's a duty of specific performance to complete the job. There's no Hofeldian privilege to withdraw. Okay. Does everybody see that? Okay.
Now,
what? It is possible. It's possible. But you see that the Agos HaShri makes the point anyway.
Yeah.
So is the Yesh Omrim, the Yesh Omrim is the Shah?
Yeah, that's the Agos HaShri. No, exactly.
Is this more difficult because the Kabbalah has the ability to do it as slowly as he wants?
He's not an Eved.
Yeah.
We could talk about that a little bit, but yes, that's the idea.
Okay.
The idea is that the Torah doesn't have to protect the Kablan. As Rashi said, he's an Eved Latzmo, not an Eved Zanado.
It's almost like you want to protect the Baal Bayis more also, because there's the ability of the Kablan to just take forever with it.
Yeah, there's that too. I think it's more that absent a specific reason that necessitates us or requires us to allow the pole to be chozer, the party should always be bound by the contractual terms.
Yeah.
Right, and so a kabbalah, he's got to do whatever the terms are, and it's only the poel who has a special schus. So look at this interesting Rabbi Kiva Eger, who says this is cited in the Pesachei Tshuva in the footnote here, in footnote Yud Tes. Did everybody see the bolded section? Because we're going to Rabbi Kiva Eger Dush V'Chiddush. I'll transcribe the Dush V'Chiddush. Dush V'Chiddush is not in Bar Ilan, but I'll transcribe that part. That suppose so a bezin in principle could compel the kabbalah to finish the job, right? But suppose there's no bezdin available. Im lo haya kan bezdin, then yuchal sheyuchal lechof alatzis hamalacha, and v'sachar poel amacherim. So suppose the Baal HaBayis hired other workers to finish the job, because there's no bezdin available to compel the breaching kablan to finish. Tzarech hakablan l'shalim kol hahefsid, v'yach biyoser michtei scharan, dekimet shechayev ligmar hamalacha hareza shlucho. Since the kablan has a duty to finish the job, if the Baal HaBayis hires workers to complete it at any cost, the kablan is on the hook to cover that cost because it was his obligation to cover.
What's this case?
This is the case where the kablan was in Shtabit Bekinyan.
Okay.
He has a duty to complete the job. He breaches. And then you hire workers that, let's say, double the rate to complete the job or triple the rate. That's the kablan has a duty to reimburse you for that. Since it was his obligation to finish the job, he's liable for those people as if they were his shluchim. It's a really interesting idea. So if it was just Yadol HaTachtona, the liability of the kablan would be capped at the full value of the contract. If I was hired for $8 for the full job, my liability could never be more than receiving zero for the job. If I have a duty of specific performance to complete the job, like in the case for Nishtavid Bekinyan, I could be chayev for whatever costs of completion are, on the theory that the poel who complete the job are my shluchim, because I have a duty to finish it. That's a Kiveger's Chiddush. Right? V'yach yoseh michtei schara nomem v'nun zuz. No matter what it is, kivan shechayev ligmar hamlocha harei zeh shlucha. See that? So there are...
that would work well with this very koshen, right? Where it's that the destruction of the ruins, right?
Well, it's a separate... I think it's just a logically distinct point.
Yeah.
Right? We're saying that the kavlan's not entitled to do anything. Not entitled to be paid anything. Mm-hmm. In principle, I mean, depends how much.
Because I'm saying you're still like. Oh no, I see what you're saying. Okay,
no. Okay. So we've seen three. There are really three shitas that we've seen so far on what happens when the kavlan breaches. Two views on yedol ha-tachtona. Everybody agrees that it is yedol ha-tachtona. Two views on what yedol ha-tachtona is. And then we have this added chiddush here of the Agos Ashri that the Shach calls to our attention, that if he's nishtabed b'kinyan, then he has a duty to complete performance. And we have Rabbi Akiva Eiger saying, well, if there's no bezin to compel performance, that can mean that the polel is liable for the full cost of completion, no matter what they are, because we construct the polim that complete the job as the shluchim of the kavla. Okay? So this is really, so far, just a description of the chiluk between a poel and a kablon. We know that the poel has the special heter to be chozer. Absent that special heter, you see you really have two views as to what happens. Is it just yadol al-tachtona, which is that first theory of contracts that we spoke about, where, of course, you could breach, just if you breach, you pay, versus the hagos ha-shri shita, which is, no. Primary duty of a contract is to perform. When a kavlan breaches, since he doesn't have the special heter of Kli B'nei Yisrael Avadim, his duty is going to be to perform still. And maybe in some cases where we can't technically compel performance because there's no bezdin, he'll be liable as a secondary duty to cover the cost of completion. Okay? So we'll stop here. What I want to pick up on Thursday with is fleshing out exactly the substantive chiluk between a kavlan and a poel. Like Donnie was asking, what exactly? It's true that one's hired for a job and one's hired for a certain duration of time, but how exactly do you cut that distinction? So those are the Makoros on page 25 onwards on Tif HaChilek Ben Kaplan L'Schir Yom, and that's what I want to pick up with on Thursday. All right? Okay, Yashikach, everybody.